Hello, everybody. We are here with a quick word from our friends over at Newsly.
Newsly is an audio app for iOS and Android. It picks up web articles about the most trending topics on the web at any given moment and reads them to you in a natural human voice.
For the first time in history of the internet, the web becomes listenable.
Browse articles from topics you choose and start playing. Stop scrolling. Start listening.
And they have podcasts as well. Explore trending podcasts from over 40 countries, and our podcast, We Are Marvel, is there too.
Download and use Newsly for free now from www.newsly.me or use the link in the description of this episode. To get a one-month free subscription, use the promo code MARVEL.
That's www.newsly.me. And don't forget, let them know that we sent you there by using the promo code MARVEL, M-A-R-V-E-L.
Hello and welcome to We Are Marvel, where we explore all the corners of the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse. And we're the official podcast of the We Are Marvel Facebook group. And while you're there, checking them out, go over to our page, We Are Marvel Pod, and give us a follow and like. Thank you. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Jeremy.
And I'm your other host. My name is Justin.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Indeed. We got there. We're here. Yes. It's happening.
Thank you for putting up with all the things that we say at the beginning and end of this show.
Yeah. It's a hassle for some. And, you know, it... But please do the things we say. That would be great. And we love you guys. Bye. All right.
Yes. Thanks for listening. Bye. No, but if you can, actually, though, speaking of that, if you can share this or any other episode that you thought was good or decent, we'll take decent.
We're just kind of hoping at this point that this one is good. But I think we're in for a pretty decent showcase one. So share it.
Yeah. If you can share it with your friends, family, whoever you think might enjoy it, that would be really helpful for us. So, yeah.
Pester awesome. People Thank on you. The street. You know. We Are Marvel. Check them out. That's you driving by strangers and just yelling at them politely, of course, to check out the show.
Perfect. Okay. Again, sorry and thank you. But thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We're going to talk, as the topic says, and we mentioned last week, we are going to be talking about kind of what our theories are for Kang. Mm-hmm. The other Kangs, all the Kangs, because there are multiple.
Yes.
That I don't feel is a spoiler, but I do feel like we will be having spoilers.
Yes.
From Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. So if you're still not caught up with that, tread lightly. Maybe don't listen until you've watched it, just in case. Because I don't know where we're going to be jumping on this episode.
I guarantee we have to talk about the post-credit scenes of that. Yes. And basically the end result of where Kang ends up. In Quantumania, because it's important. Otherwise, we're just going to be treading a little too lightly on things, and nothing we say will make sense. So,
yes,
go watch
Quantumania.
It is great. Don't believe the haters. It's awesome. Go
and
get it.
Yes, and absolutely don't listen to this if you haven't watched it, because it is. We're going to spoil it a lot. Yeah. So, yeah, Justin's right. We're not going to...
Oh, no.
It's going to be too difficult for us and for the listeners that have watched it to... follow along, so we're just gonna go full spoilers on this. Yeah. Okay. I guess with that, let's just jump into this. Yeah, we'll grab our Icarus and start talking about where's Kang, who's Kang, when's Kang. All right, so this idea kind of came about after last episode where we talked about Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and kind of asked, like, what's happening with Kang? I think we agree that we don't think he actually died. Something happened to him, obviously, but we don't think he's actually dead, at least for me. Is that same for you? I don't remember what your takeaway was with that.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, it's so... the movie did not end the way I thought it would, and it sounds like the original ending was closer to what I thought it was going to be, where Kang escapes and Ant-Man was going to be trapped in the quantum realm.
Right.
It sounds like that was the original plan. And then that got changed to what we got, which was Kang disappearing, getting sucked into his multiversal engine.
Yeah.
Being presumed dead. And then Scott going, well, he warned me about other stuff, which I want to talk about that.
Me too.
And then we got the Council of Kings at the end.
Yeah.
Like I said, everyone kind of assumed this was going to be the, oh, this is where he gets out. And, you know, things commence from there. And that's very much not what happened. So.
Right.
And I will say, this is full on speculation. We don't know our ass from a hole in the ground most of the time. But with this, it is purely us just hypothesizing. Some of mine is based on rumors and things that I've read online, but none of it is substantiated. So if we just so happen to guess something right, sorry.
Yes.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And even if we did know something, I feel like that could change. Like, I've been seeing articles saying that, you know, Kang will be in this movie and the kill count's going to be so high. It's like, yeah, maybe right now, yeah, but that can change. Like, yeah. I mean, your example of Ant-Man and the Wasp, that changed towards the end of filming.
Production.
In production. It changed. So, take that stuff with a grain of salt. You know, try not to look and read into too many things like we're about to, I guess.
Yeah. But before we get too far...
Yes, that's true. Before we get too far into it, I also want to talk about the end once they got back from the quantum realm.
Okay.
It just seemed too weird. Something felt so off. I think it's off. Kind of other things that I've seen online that I agree with is that it's a different... This isn't their same reality. I think they're in a different reality. It's a very similar reality. But I think that it's like almost maybe being controlled by someone else.
Hmm.
It just had a weird feel to it. I watched a video where if you look at the background characters, a lot of them were wearing green and purple, indicating like maybe Kang is in trouble. Yeah. I watched a video and some of it was like, I think that was just, you know, an editing mistake because you see a couple very brightly colored green and purple outfit behind him and then you see him again in front of him or vice versa. Mm-hmm. It's like that happens all the time. You know, extras are in multiple places. Yeah. You know, it happens. But there was a lot of other things that he kind of pointed out and I was like, okay, it's kind of maybe. And just the way... The feeling of it, there was so much like anxiety to that scene and just Scott kind of second guessing himself and then kind of snapping out of it. And just so I think there's something else to that. I don't know when we'll find that out. This could be something that ends up not going anywhere if it was even supposed to. But I feel like there was something more to that.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some scuttlebutt of, is there going to be an Ant-Man 4, which happens with all of these. Every time a new one comes out, it's okay, but are you going to do another one?
Right. Like,
that's the nature of franchise filmmaking in general. So it's tough. I mean, it is an awkward scene. It's supposed to be an awkward scene. My thing is, like... When He Who Remains was talking to Sylvie and Loki, it was, you don't want to kill me because you won't like what takes my place. When Ant-Man killed Kang, it was, you don't want to kill me because you don't want what's going to take my place.
Right.
And then we see in the post-credits what is potentially going to take their place, which is a metric crap ton of Kangs in a big Colosseum hooting and hollering.
Yeah.
And it's tough because, like, you assume, like, it's the Kang dynasty, and originally we all thought, it's going to be Kang, the Conqueror, rising, you know, getting out of the quantum realm and taking the fight to the Avengers. This seems like the Council of Kangs has plans for the multiverse that the Avengers are getting a little too close to with their tamperings, and they're going to... squash that before their plans run amok.
Yeah, and it's so hard to tell, like, who really is the... I don't know if it's good guys or who's the better of the evils, you know?
And is like, there
is
one?
Is it this... Yeah, that's...
Like, none of them are good. I mean, that's... We talked about that in the history of Kang. Like, none of them are good guys. Even Iron Lad, like, has to fight his inner demons, and then once he banishes Kang, goes back in time to his original timeline to then become Kang. Mm-hmm. Like, my wonder is the Kang Dynasty referencing all of them? Is it going to be every version of Kang coming at the Avengers all at once in different ways? And also, in true comic book villain team style, is everyone going to be out for themselves? And will they just kind of keep getting in their own ways, knocking each other off one by one until we get some sort of incursion that just destroys the multiverse?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Okay. So you think Kang Dynasty is going to be that, where it's a fight against them all, maybe not all at once, but one by one, one by two, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, we already have Victor Timely showing up in Loki. Mm-hmm. That's been confirmed via the other post-credits scene.
Yeah.
This had Ramatut, it had Centurion, and it had the other one whose name, Immortus, all kind of leading or being at the head of this giant Kang council that a lot of them, I mean, they're essentially like a giant mass of Jonathan Majors's, and there's no way of telling any distinct personalities between any of them other than they like to hoot and holler for some reason. And I mean, as we talked about in our history episode, like, there's only so many that really rise to the top to be an actual thing. So a lot of these Kangs could be just the army fodder for the Avengers. Like, every villain has their army. Loki had the Chitauri, Ultron had his Ultron bots, Thanos had his Outriders and weird alien creatures. This could be the Kangses. Like, you could get those three main ones, and then the rest of the Kangs are just the faceless mass army that they have to fight in a big battle.
Right. And, okay, yeah, I like that. And then kind of the reason that they fight harder is because the overall goal is what they want too. Not just, oh yeah, I have to fight for him because he feeds me. Mm-hmm. But it's like, we want that same goal. This is how we get it done as a unit of Kangs, as a dynasty, if you will.
Well, that's my thing. Like, I keep thinking of Kang Dynasty. Well, okay, if you think about dynasty, it's the idea of a torch passing through the ages. And if it's not just... It's tough because the way that you think about a character and just the multiverse of it all, the timelines of it all, like, they're all the same guy, but they're also not at the same time, is so weird and trippy, where it's like, yeah, I think they're going to fight a giant army of various Kangs.
Jeez. Okay. That's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It is. It really is. Yeah. I'm in for it. Yeah. I mean, I like it, kind of thinking about it just now that you're kind of saying to me. I mean, I'm in. It sounds great. It sounds intense, and it sounds crazy to film, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's obviously just plotting that out, like, cuz just to have the Kang of Kang Enterprises, you know, maybe pulling some strings and doing his thing, and then you have Victor Timely, and then you have some of the other ones who could be doing their stuff.
Like, yeah, that is something that I would like to see. Part of me does and part of me doesn't. You know, I'd love to see different Kangs in these different movies. Mm-hmm. And not all of them have to be evil in that movie. Like, they don't have to be the main villain of that movie. Just some sort of, he's there, you know, he runs a shop or something, and you see him in the background.
Random, like, florist.
I'd just love to see him at these different places and just... So he's always around, always kind of watching. I'd love that. Because that is kind of jumping into some more theories. That's one theory that I kind of saw, was that the King the Conqueror that we saw went into this quantum realm place, and it's a, I forget what it's called, a paradox or paradox storm or whatever. It multiple of you, whatever decisions you've made or could make, there's a different version for that.
Yeah.
And those keep popping up. And I'm wondering if that's one way that he kind of puts himself, he figures a way to put himself in different places and just watches, almost becomes a watcher type person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a stretch, but it's something I saw, and I thought it was kind of interesting, and it kind of lined up with what I want to see, is to see him in different places. Not really controlling things, or maybe even subtly controlling things. There's just so many possibilities, and that's kind of one of the reasons that we did this episode. It's just there's so much we can do with that.
Yeah, I'm going down to my history of Kang notes, because I've kept them because I knew we were going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
For notable aliases, there's Iron Lad, so he could show up. There's been no Young Avengers movie or show announced. It's highly likely, given what we've had over the past, several things, that's coming.
It's right there. It's there waiting for you to just announce it.
Yeah. But you could very easily have an Iron Lad cast someone that looks like a young Jonathan Majors and have him. You don't even have to necessarily go out and full on say who he is. That could be kind of the twist of the movie, honestly.
Yeah.
The only thing that would bump on that for me, I guess, is they already have Iron Heart, so why would you also do Iron Lad?
Yeah.
Two Iron Young Avengers seems a bit much. You could have him be something else, I guess.
Has she announced her name being Ironheart, like her specifically? I know she is, but...
No, but I mean, she's going to have her own show. They've already...
Yeah, that's true. She's going to have
the
show.
That's when that's going to happen.
I was thinking maybe she takes the Iron Man and Iron Lad and is like, out of respect and in remembrance of them both, I want to take Ironheart.
That'd be
cool.
But
you're right, that wouldn't work. Yeah. But it's,
yeah, I mean, unless he shows up before then, but I don't see that happening because that show's already filmed. Yeah. I don't think it's coming out this year, but it has already filmed.
Unless they already had this done and they've already filled a young Jonathan Majors in an Iron Lad suit.
I mean, that could be part of it.
I doubt that has happened and we haven't had it leak, but anything's possible. Know.
We have Pharaoh Ramatut, who we saw in the post, Victor Timely, Scarlet Centurion, and Immortus. The other, I think Mr. Griffin is the one from Kang Industries. I'd have to go down and look and see, but honestly, I think that's really the only one that I would kind of want to see. Now that we've kind of covered all of the other bases, other than Iron Lad, because the Chrono Monitor 616 works for the TVA. You could easily put that into a season of Loki because they've already dealt with the TVA. You could put it in Deadpool 3 as just a little Easter egg of a Jonathan Majors in that movie.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Tie that movie in.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's very big speculation that the TVA is going to be involved in Deadpool 3. That Mobius likely be in it.
Yeah, he was traveling around.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of that was for comedy at the end there, but I mean, he's still doing it.
Yeah. It's not planned, but the fact that Deadpool had a time machine watch at the end of Deadpool 2 just worked so perfectly for them. Like, they couldn't have planned it better.
I know. it was just this dumb thing that they were just like, let's do this. Yeah, it'd be funny if you went back and killed this stupid Deadpool that they tried to make and this dumb Ryan Reynolds kid trying to make this Green Lantern movie. And it was funny.
Yeah.
But you're right. Now it's like, but wait, we can actually work with that.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, the only other one here is Mr. Griffin, who's the one that owns Kang Industries. And you could totally do that in anything. They've already had Kang Industries in Loki. Like, it was in the void. There was a Kang Industries.
Is that where it was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because a small thing that I saw was they can have Kang Industries bought Avengers Tower.
Yeah.
And I saw
it's either them or it's the Baxter Building now, which is the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
So I would be amazed if Kang is not in Fantastic Four.
Okay.
Given where it sits in everything, unless it gets moved again or something, And I mean, just the relation, as we talked about in the history, that Kang is in theory a descendant of Reed Richards and or Doctor Doom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and Kang is a Fantastic Four villain. Like, so I'd be amazed if he's not there. There's been talk that there's going to be multiversal stuff in the Marvels, which could be, who knows. I saw some other, and Deadpool 3, obviously. I think those are, like, the ones that are more or less confirmed to be dealing with the multiverse saga of it all. But also, okay. There's been a lot of talk of the rings. Kang brought up the rings in the Quantum Realm, and the chances of the rings also tying to Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
And which would then and could also tie into Kamala Khan, which would obviously tie into the Marvels. So if we get a Shang-Chi 2 before Kang Dynasty, those rings, like, he could be the one sending that beacon that we heard talk of at the end of Shang-Chi.
That's right. Ugh. Haven't heard that one or seen that one. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, we all kind of assumed at the time that it was the dragons that originally had those rings, because that's what it is in the books. And you get Fin Fang Foom and all that stuff, and that's what we talked about on the show. But what if it's Kang?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Blue just blew your mind hole.
You did. I'm trying to process this and trying to talk at the same time. It's not working. I can't believe I haven't seen that one yet. That's awesome. Yeah, I would love that. That'd be... Yes, I'm in.
Yeah.
Because I love Shang-Chi. It was a great movie. It was a lot of fun. And we've been talking about we want to see more because nothing's set yet.
Yeah, I mean, a sequel has more or less been confirmed, but we don't have a date yet. Crichton is doing Kang Dynasty and Wonder Man. So we don't know how full his plate is going to be leading into that, if there's even time for a Shang-Chi sequel before he does Kang Dynasty. But if there is, I mean, this and some of the other stuff we've heard could very well tie very much into Kang Dynasty. I saw a thing recently that suggested that Spider-Man is going to be like the head of the Avengers for Kang Dynasty, and that Tom Holland has supposedly signed a new deal with multiple movies, including another Spider-Man movie that will be the tee-up to Kang Dynasty.
Right.
Which makes sense, given where No Way Home landed. If he does something that reverses what Doctor Strange reversed in the beginning. Because he's an idiot.
Reverse, you know,
he could fugger up the multiverse again.
Yeah.
I kind of hope they don't do that because it kind of negates the ending of No Way Home.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, man. There's a lot of options.
There's a lot of options.
I'm here for it. All right. Another one that I saw. Let's see here. Oh, I changed that in my notes. Going back to my notes here. So this one was an interesting one. I've seen people talking about how the Kang that we got in this, so Kang the Conqueror, he got sucked into that thing, is stuck in the quantum realm or wherever this thing is, and somehow finds a way out and then eventually becomes He Who Remains. He ends up killing off all the other kings. That's kind of what he's been doing, is stopping the timelines of other kings happening. But then the question that came up, you know, where's the scars? And someone pointed out that maybe they're just there for looks because they light up when he's using powers. I don't really remember the lighting up part.
I don't either.
So I think it, yeah, so that doesn't work. But still, the scars, like, where did they go?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's
an interesting idea, but...
Yeah, I don't see him being He Who Remains. That seems...
I don't either.
It almost seems pointless. It'd be a cool way to have him come back and be, like, the hero Kang.
Yeah.
But...
I think the idea with that was they both wanted the same thing.
Yeah.
They both agreed that I'm the better version of the Kangs. You don't want the other Kangs. And... I don't know if there's enough there, though.
Yeah, because my point, essentially, from what I made earlier, is they all want that. They all think they're the best one. It's like, if you really want to prep your brain for the multiverse saga, watch Rick and Morty. it's going to be your easiest, most fluid way to get what's coming. And the Council of Ricks is the Council of Kings. It is. They all think they're the best ones. They all think that this crazy one is the worst one. And you would rather have them than that. And that vice versa. It's the same thing. So.
I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I haven't thought of that before. But yeah, it is spot on.
Yeah. It's tough. I don't hate that theory. I like the loop of it all. That he eventually becomes the one that is he who remains. But, this we don't know where the scars came from.
Yeah.
So, I think he could become a version of he who remains, but I doubt it'd be the same he who remains that we had in Loki.
Okay.
Because, the scars.
Yeah.
You'd imagine the scars probably came from fighting his other variants or the Avengers.
Right.
So, yeah. Do we want to talk about the Beyonder of it all or save that for later?
Either one. That's on my list. I only have one other thing, and it's not that. I just asked some other people. The Beyonder thing or the last one that I have?
The last one you have. And then we'll... Okay. The Beyonder thing is... Beyonder. Yeah, the Beyonder thing, which we'll get to shortly, is the prevailing rumor right now of what is going to happen, which I guess would be the biggest, spoilers if you... if we're right and this leak or rumor going around the internet is true, you can stop listening because this is what the internet believes to be a possibility and actually what I think is going to happen.
Mm, interesting. So, okay. Yeah. Okay. So we'll save the last one that I just kind of asked some people that I know what they thought. What do you think the future is? They think that the king that we just saw is going to be Victor Timely. I think that's what happened. He went into this thing, kind of pushed back in time, and now he's kind of working with what he has to build up to where he needs to be. So he's got these 19, 20, 30s, whatever timeline they're in. Kind of technology, and he's got to work with that, and becomes, of course, popular by introducing these different things. So it could work, it could fit, but I just feel like he's meant for more than that. So I guess we'll know more after Loki season 2.
Yeah,
maybe he does go on to do more, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I don't hate that, and it is possible. I mean, all of these are possible. That's kind of the point. But
yeah,
at the end of Loki season 1, we saw the Timekeeper's statues turn into that of Kang, basically. Right. He didn't have the helmet on, but he had the rest of the garb on, and of course it was Majors's head. Mm-hmm. In the comics, Victor Timely goes back in time, creates, and basically becomes the mayor of this town of Timely, which is a play up on the original title for Marvel Comics. Before it became Marvel Comics, it was Timely Comics. And then he helped something Hammond, I don't remember his first name, create the original Android Human Torch, who we see in the first Captain America movie. In that tube, when they go to that World's Fair thing where we first meet Howard Stark, there's a robot-looking thing in an orange jumpsuit. The name Hammond is on there. And they couldn't call him Human Torch because of rights issues, but that's who that was supposed to be.
Right.
So you could tie this into the beginnings of Captain America, even. Really. But the idea that
that would be kind of the beginnings of Howard Stark, even.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Howard Stark, and then into Iron Man himself, and that is something I mentioned that I would love to see.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of talked about it with Fastos and Eternals, which they didn't really do. And it is a thing from the books that Victor Timely essentially starts the Marvel Universe. What he does brings about that age of technology that eventually brings us the Avengers.
Yeah. And that is what this could be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so cool.
But whether that makes him Kang the Conqueror and then he becomes the actual villain of Kang Dynasty or Secret Wars, which is coming afterwards, I don't know. It's possible.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. Something has to happen in Kang Dynasty that causes essentially a multiversal collision. And we'll talk about this more with the Beyonder stuff. And that is what causes the Secret Wars. The Secret Wars, there have been a couple, and we'll talk about them in a minute, but the one that I think they're going to do is a collision of the multiverse.
Okay.
And that, because that makes the most sense. So, God, it's just tough, and we're going to have to go into the Beyonder to really delve into that theory. So, okay. Again, if you don't want even more potential spoilers, like I said, everything we're saying is just hypotheses, and we could be full of shit, but leave now, because we're going to get into the Beyonder of it all. It is the main theory that's floating around the internet, and the Beyonder is very closely involved in the Secret Wars. Like, he's the one that creates them most of the time. Okay. So, 3, 2, 1, spoilers. In the comics, the Beyonder is its own thing. It's its own entity. So I'll get into his origins here in a sec. So the Beyonder is the manifestation of the Beyond Realm, or simply the Beyond, which exists separately from the multiverse. This dimension was accidentally accessed by lab technician Owen Rees. Some of the energy from the dimension escapes and imbues Rees with infinite powers, which he wields as the villainous Molecule Man. And the remaining energy gains sentience and curiosity as the Beyonder.
Okay.
In the first Secret Wars, the Beyonder creates a planet called Battle World out of pieces of various planets and abducts a number of superheroes and supervillains from Earth and forces them to fight each other so that he can observe the never-ending battle between good and evil. It's essentially what the Beyonder did in Spider-Man the Animated Series from the 90s.
I don't remember that enough.
Well, you should watch it. It's on Disney Plus. If you want a vague idea of what that is, that's what Madam Web is teeing him up for the whole time. Is like, this thing is coming, multiverse, different versions of yourself, different things. They pull different heroes from the Marvel Universe, different villains from the Marvel Universe, and put them on a planet together to fight. And then after that, later on, we get the multiverse saga of different Spider-Mans.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
Are you with me?
It seems like things are, yes. It seems like things are lining up that way, so.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think that's what the point of the movie is going to be, though.
Okay.
Because in that version, the Beyonder is just sort of an observer. Like, he's not necessarily a bad guy. Mm. He's just kind of a dickhead with a lot of power that can play these kind of games. Like, he's essentially playing chess with people, saying, here's a good team, here's a bad team, fight, and we'll see if good is in fact better than evil.
Right, okay.
I don't think that's the point of this. And the prevailing theory is that the Beyonder in this, much like they did with He Who Remains, is going to be a variant of Kang.
Okay.
Which makes the most sense. Because yeah. If they're doing the Kang Dynasty, and then you have the Beyonder show up, like, why? You know, you could have it just be some new person introduced in this movie who's like, okay, enough of your shit, Kang, and all your variant horse shit. Let's see which universe wins. In Secret Wars from 2015, which I think was the third Secret Wars, the basic premise involves the collision of Marvel's 616 universe and the Ultimate Marvel 1610 universe, which destroys both, and then pieces of the two universes are mysteriously saved and combined with other post-collision universes, creating the Battle World.
Okay.
And essentially, it combines all the multiverses that Marvel had in the comics at the time, and what pops out at the end is the new timeline of the Marvel Comics universe. And I think that's what we're going to get in the movies.
Okay. Okay, so our MCU will collide with another. You don't know which one, right? Just another. And then the events will happen, and then we'll get the future of the MCU.
I think so. You cut out quite a bit there, so I'm just going to kind of piece together what I'm assuming you said. I think this is how we get all the characters that we haven't seen in the MCU yet that are Marvel characters owned by Fox.
Okay.
Or this is how we can get a new Captain America with a recast. You know, it's not Chris Evans anymore, it's someone else. Hey, we have Iron Man again, but it's not Downey.
Okay, right. I would love to see that. That would be great.
Yeah. It's tough because part of me is like, I want the MCU to keep moving on from those characters, but it's also like,
yeah,
you know, I want them to keep coming up.
Yeah, because, yeah, you're right. They can only go for so long. Like, if, you know, like, Evans himself, he doesn't want to keep doing Captain America, so we're losing him, and we don't want to lose Captain America, so have him be someone else. Yeah. And I know we do have Anthony Mackie stepping up and doing that, but there's other characters, like Iron Man, who no one is coming back as Iron Man. He didn't pass on the mantle or anything like that. So to get Iron Man still, because Iron Man's a cool character, have him return as a different actor? Yeah. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the possibilities for Secret Wars is endless, and there's been speculation about it ever since they announced it, and the possibility of, and we've talked about on the show, of, like, could you get Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner back? Could you get Nicolas Cage back? Right. Could you get any number of the X-Men cast back to make any number of awesome cameos? And then have your new cast members. Like, could Marvel slowly start casting new people in these roles so that you could then have them take over? I mean, and then it's so tough. They could do so many things that by the end of Secret Wars, we could have a completely new MCU, and anybody who wants out of their deals can leave, and we can bring in new people. Like, it's, yeah, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean, part of me is like, it has to end at some point. You know, I don't want this to just keep going. You're like, okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had enough. Like, just stop already.
Yeah.
And after, but if they can find a way to do this right, I mean, it could keep going and going. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's tough. I mean, as storytellers, it's like we want to see how it ends. That was the nice thing about Endgame, is that it felt like there was an ending to the book.
Right. Yes.
And this does suggest, like, it's never going to stop. And there's something great about that. And then there's something kind of disheartening about that, to be like, you want to go out on a high, not while people are telling you to get off the stage. And Marvel, especially lately with the huge glut of content they've had, has gotten a lot of okay enough already, which is why they're scaling back right now and pacing themselves more.
Yeah. Yeah. They're trying to do, you know, quality over quantity, which right now, like, I'd still love it if they just keep showing it in my face, 'cause I can keep up, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
But I also don't want the quality of these things to go down and just be like, yeah, it was okay. But, you know, we got a lot of it. It was just all okay, but we got a lot. I don't want that either. I'd rather, this was amazing. Like, I can't wait for the next one. I know we got to wait a while, but, like, it's going to be worth the wait.
Well, and I think that's essentially the point of what's happening right now, is there's so much, so fast, all the time, that they don't feel special anymore. And unless you're a Wakanda Forever that can really break through, like, there's nothing, we keep saying this, there's nothing inherently bad about Quantumania. And yet it is, like, the lowest rated Marvel thing ever. There was nothing inherently bad about Eternals either. And it's the second lowest rated thing. She-Hulk got crapped on. Other stuff that they've been putting out over the last couple years is just getting smushed. And I think it's because, I mean, everything got jammed up in COVID. We couldn't release anything. Then they released a bunch of stuff at once. Mm-hmm. And then they had a bunch of other stuff in the pipeline. And it's just every other month there's some new thing. And so it's not a special. You don't live with it and go, oh, this is great, and, you know, it's the only Marvel thing you have to satiate yourself on for 6 months or more. It's, well, I have this right now, but I'm going to have a new bag of candy next week, so we'll see if that one tastes better.
Right. No, yeah, it's a good point. So, it's a fine line they got to kind of walk down, and
yeah.
I think they're making the right choice of scaling back.
For sure.
So, yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is essentially the biggest thing. I think, and I guess I didn't really even talk about what the theory is going with Kang, other than he's a variant of the Beyonder. I think that he didn't necessarily get killed. He got essentially sucked into and melded with his time engine, multiversal engine. Okay. I think, if anything, MODOK is our key to what actually happened to Kang. We all thought that Darren Cross was dead, and we never heard anything but, you know, of him since. Well, what happened to him, spoilers, is that he got sucked into the quantum realm, disfigured horribly because different parts of him shrunk at different rates, and then he got put into this, you know, machine designed only for killing. And I think what will happen is that Kang got sucked in with his multiversal engine, and it will turn him into the Beyonder. He will be imbued with maybe the powers of this multiversal engine to be able to control the multiverse in the way that he sees fit.
Right.
And maybe he'll have some sort of epiphany at the end and go, oh, this is the true path, and then mesh everything back up together into something harmonious. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know. That's the only part where this theory kind of falls apart for me, is if he does become the Beyonder, like, what is his ultimate goal then?
Yeah.
I mean, is it just, here's the multiverse smashed together, and whoever comes out on top wins? I mean, that's essentially what Battle World is, so you could.
Yeah, and I don't see the good guys being like, yeah, he's right, he is the one that we need to keep around, so all others, you know, must die or go away at least.
Yeah, and that's like, the other,
I don't see them just
this.
Being okay with it.
Yeah, the heroes aren't gonna pull a purge and be like, well, I want to be the version of me that lasts, so I'm gonna kill all the other ones. Like, the villains will do that, but the heroes aren't gonna do that.
Or maybe that's what makes them win, is the heroes do that. And they all almost kind of, it'll be almost a callback to Scott and how they're trying to do what's good for Cassie, you know, what everyone else is trying to do good for what's good for, I don't know, never mind. I was going to say that they're going to do what's good for their multiverse, but how do they decide which one is the only multiverse?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they'll team up and try and do good, what's best for everyone, and that finds a way to defeat him. I don't know. That's just pulling it.
That's the thing, is how you actually end this in a way that makes sense, to where either the entire multiverse is sunk back into one timeline like it was before Loki, or you keep the multiverse going but separate, and then you have someone managing it better than Kang did.
Right. Loki.
Yeah, it all swings back to Loki.
It all goes back to Loki. I mean, he who remains was telling us the whole time he wanted a Loki to take over.
That's true.
Now he has two.
Mm-hmm. And now he has one. I can't wait to see what they do with Sylvie. Like, is she just sitting in that room going, well, I killed him, I don't know what to do now.
Yeah.
What do I'm do just kind of stuck Oops. Here. awkward.
Yeah, because all those timelines are splitting, and
we're seeing it full bore.
Yeah,
I mean, they exist now, and we're seeing the ramifications of that decision. But what it leads to is hard to say. I mean, obviously, we could speculate on for hours. I know this wasn't the longest episode, but I mean,
no,
with no definitive answers, we could just keep spinning our wheels. But I think, to me, just from a sense of why do this in the first place, is just to be able to introduce characters and bring back characters that they didn't have access to before. in a universe where it's like, oh, well, the Fantastic Four have always been there. Oh, this character's always been here. Like, it's a way of soft rebooting the MCU.
Right.
I'm just surprised they're doing it this quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. It hasn't been that quick. I mean, it has been 2008 when this all started, but...
Yeah, but... I mean,
maybe
they're...
even going back further, because you said you kind of have 2002 with the first Spider-Man. Yeah. So.
And 98 with Blade, and 80s for the best Marvel movie ever made, Howard the Duck. So, yeah. What I would love to see, though, is a version of the MCU where all of these characters are available to them from the beginning. So that the Fantastic Four are kind of the first, you know, obviously it's Captain America from the 40s, but also, like, the Fantastic Four are some of the first superheroes we get, and then Spider-Man and all the others show up, and we have the X-Men and all this other stuff already in the universe as the Avengers are starting to form for the first time. But the only hindrance I have on that is we just got She-Hulk, we just got Ms. Marvel, we just got all these new characters. I don't want to see them go yet.
Yeah.
Or already be in the universe while we're starting it over, or I don't know. I don't know what the end game of this is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You're right. That's tough. Because how can you bring them in and just have them be gone that quick? And how do you explain how they get sticking around but the others don't? Yeah, it's tough. I'm glad we just do a podcast about it.
Right.
Not have to actually make this
I would
decision.
Love to be in that room and helping them decide it, but I don't know. Like, I don't know what the answer to these questions are. I'm excited to find out. I hope it's not a crushing disappointment, honestly, because, yeah, the possibilities are literally endless to what could happen at the end of that movie.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Me too.
But I don't know about you, but I'd love to hear what our listeners think. Like, what do For you sure. think is going to be happening? What do you think should happen? And all those things. Just whatever your thoughts are, we'd love to hear it.
Where do you think Kang's going to show up next? What do you think his ultimate goals are? Yeah. Let us hear it.
Yes. Absolutely.
Jeremy's going to tell you how.
Thanks, man. Yes. How to reach out to us. There's many ways. Go to the website, wearemarvelpod.com. On any social media, wearemarvelpod. You can search for us, find us that way. Email us, wearemarvelpod@gmail.com. If you go to the website, there's also a link to our merchandise page, which you can get stickers and coffee mugs, pillows, all that kind of stuff.
With our logo on it. Not just get those things, but you can get them with our logo and variations.
You can
therein.
Do both. I think you can probably just get a plain old nothing on it or ours. We would like it if you got ours.
Obviously.
Just because I still would love to see us someone rocking anything of ours out in the wild. That hasn't happened for me yet.
No.
I'd love to see it.
That would be really cool.
It would, wouldn't it? Like, I just have such a big smile on my face. Can't wait to tell you. And we'd be taking a picture, I'm sure. I'd have to, for sure.
Yeah.
I'd have to.
We'd scream at them like we tell our listeners to strangers on the street and be like, you're one of our listeners. And then they'd be like, not anymore.
Scream at that person. Oh, good times.
That'd be great.
Yes. Yes, that's how you can get a hold of us, and please do that. But Justin, what do we got for next week?
Next week, Jeremy. Next episode. Same thing, because it is going to be next week.
Yes, this time it will be.
If all plans come together the way that we hope. We're going to have our good friend Brandon back to talk about the next film in the Marvel multiverse that has come up timeline-wise, and that is Blade 2 from 2002.
Yay.
Woot woot.
Yeah.
With Ron Perlman and Norman Reedus. So.
That's right.
Yeah. Hellboy and Daryl fighting alongside Blade.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be an interesting crossover.
Yeah. I mean, that they're essentially the same things.
You know? Yeah, that's true.
And it's Del Toro, so I mean, even more Hellboy right there.
Yes. Awesome. So yeah, tune in next week. Definitely reach out, everyone. Thank you for listening. Share it with whoever and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And until next episode, I've been Jeremy.
And I've been Justin.
Bye.
Bye.